related in a sense, but perhaps God will give us something related as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. If you could imagine a soldier standing there with no armor on, and scattered around his feet are all of the pieces of armor that he has to put on. And God says, I want you to put on the whole armor. Don't just put on one piece. Don't just put on a couple pieces here and there. Don't put on one at a time. Put them all on all the time. And he says this, for the reason that we do this, we put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to, what's that next word? Stand. That's right. We need to be able to stand, and the Bible says that stand begins by standing against the wiles of the devil. We've spent the last several Wednesday nights, and you can go back and look at them, talking about the enemy of the believer. This past Wednesday, we talked about the flesh. As a matter of fact, I want you to know Brother Phil is going to be preaching on Wednesday night on the world. We've talked about the devil, and we've talked at length about who he is and how he works and what his purposes are and what his objectives are and why is he walking about, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. And we understand a little bit more about him. So the Bible says we put on the armor so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, we're very familiar with it, but let's read it together. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here we go again. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Say it with me. Stand. Then it says in verse 14, the first word, look at it with me and say it out loud. Ready? Stand. What does it say? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Father, I pray that you please help us tonight as we search your word. Help us, Lord, as we look into this thought of truth. And Lord, I ask that you would please bless us as a church as we open the word of God. This is the bedrock of truth upon which we build our programs, upon which we build our identity, upon which we build our faith, upon which we build our stand. And help us as people to stand in the evil day and against the wiles of the devil. Help us to do so with the aid of your truth tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to know this evening that the Bible tells us that the Christian and the devil are on a collision course on any given day that you're alive. The devil is against you. The devil hates you. The devil wants to destroy you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to devour. He comes to intimidate. He comes to bring fear. And the Bible says that we're on this collision course, and we're on that course in spite of our inheritance. I'm thankful for my inheritance in Christ Jesus. But in spite of that inheritance, I find myself in a conflict. In spite of my identity in Christ, that I am made one with Christ. The Bible says I am adopted by the Father. I am redeemed by the Son. I am indwelled by the Holy Spirit of promise. I am sealed by that same Holy Spirit. And in spite of all that, we find that we're still in a battle and in a conflict. I'm thankful tonight for the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and not only the indwelling power, but the filling of the Spirit that enables me to do what God has called me to do and what God has called you to do as believers and as those who love God and want to serve God. We understand tonight we cannot serve God without the power of His Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit lest we fulfill the lust of the flesh. But in spite of that filling of the Spirit and in spite of that indwelling of the Spirit, I want you to know tonight, you're still going to face battles and you're still going to face conflict because the devil is still your enemy. The devil is still intent upon devouring. And because of this reality and because of the fact that God has done all these many wonderful things for us, and yet we still find that it's a difficult path, and we still find that it's a hard road often to travel, we still find that we receive opposition. Paul the Apostle said, hey, there's a great door open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Anytime God leads us forward, we find resistance from the devil because the devil is there to frustrate the purpose of God in the life of the believer. God says, if you want to understand how to deal with that tonight, you are going to have to learn how to put on the whole armor of God. The devil wants to destroy the believer, and I think he has several goals in mind. I found a list, if you will, in my study. I thought I would share with you tonight of what Satan's goals are this evening. I think, first of all, that Satan wants to undermine God's character and God's credibility in your mind. God wants to be one who is trusted. God wants to be one who is leaned upon. And the devil wants to do everything that he can to destroy the credibility that God has with his child. The bottom line is that Satan wants you to doubt God. That's how he began his temptation. That's how he began his work in the world. He looked at Eve and he said, "Yea, hath God said?" What was he doing? He was attacking the credibility of God. And Satan will go to any length to make you doubt God. The second thing the devil wants you to do tonight is he wants you to think that God is a liar. Isn't that interesting? Because the Bible says that Satan's a murderer, and he was a murderer from the beginning. And in that same verse, the Bible says that he's a liar and the father of it. All lies come from the devil. All lies are birthed with satanic force. And the Bible says that Satan wants you to think that God is a liar and that he doesn't really love you. When we doubt God, when we doubt his mercy, when we doubt his forgiveness, when we doubt any one of his many wonderful and immutable attributes tonight, we understand that we are, in essence, denying the word of God, because God tells us in his word what he wants us to know about him. And we know from the word of God that God is faithful, God is true, his mercy endureth to all generations and is to everlasting. And we know all of these things because God tells us, and yet Satan still has convinced some that God is a liar. It's an interesting thing that doubt's so powerful. John the Baptist was one that Jesus said of him, there is not a man born among women greater than John the Baptist. And the passage of Scripture in which Christ made that known to his disciples is the same passage of Scripture where John's disciples were sent to Jesus while John was in prison awaiting to be beheaded. And he said, "Tell us, are you really the Messiah?" Yeah, even the man who God in the flesh said was the greatest man born among women, even that man doubted. Even that man suffered doubt. I think as a consequence of that the devil wants to remove God's credibility in your mind, and he wants to get you to doubt God, and he wants to convince you that God is a liar. As a consequence of that, the devil also then wants to make sure that it's very hard for you to live the Christian life. A lot of people have gotten saved and then become very shocked by the fact that it's a battle. It is difficult. Why is it so difficult? Well, one of the only reasons that I can think it's so difficult tonight is because it's so important. It's so important. And the devil knows how important it is, and therefore, if he can make it difficult for us, how does the devil make things difficult? Well, think with me tonight. Wake up a little bit here this evening. The devil would like to make life difficult for you. He'd like to make the Christian life difficult for you through persecution. The Bible says those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How many of you know that if you're going to follow God, if you're going to take up your cross, if you're going to follow him, the Bible says that when you go to follow Jesus, it involves a cross, it involves some persecution, it involves some reproach. Moses knew that. He said, "I'd rather suffer the reproach of Christ." Think about that, an Old Testament character suffering the reproach of Christ. He said, "I'd rather suffer the reproach of Christ than to experience the pleasure of sin for a season." Moses said, "I'm not going to go down the road of sin. I'm going to go down the road of persecution. I'm not going to let persecution stop me from doing what God has called me to do." But there's another thing the devil would like to do. He'd like to use peer pressure. You say, "Well, you're talking to the teenagers now." I'm not talking to the teenagers. I'm talking to all of us now. This world and the relationships that the devil, for some reason, seems fit to put in our lives, and God sometimes allows people to come along and to pressure us and to pull us away and to give us all of that, and we think pressure and peer pressure is just a teenager issue. It's an issue with all of us, because all of us are starting to look at how the world is becoming, and we're starting to wonder, "Well, maybe I should just tone it down a little bit, Brother Tom. Maybe I should just tone it down a little bit. It's just getting a little hot out there. Let's not draw any attention to ourselves." Hey, you ought to tell the disciples that in the first century, who, when they said, "You can go, but you can't preach in that name," they said, "We will preach in no other name than the name of Jesus." Well, why don't you just wait until it's a little more secretive, Paul? Why don't you wait until nobody's watching, Peter? But that's the point. We are called to be a light, and if we're called to be a light, that light has to be revealed. The devil will use peer pressure. The devil will use persecution. You know, the devil will use prosperity. As soon as things are going good, as soon as things are going okay, as soon as things are going well, you know what we oftentimes do? We take our foot off of the proverbial gas pedal and we stop going forward for Jesus and we start living the life of luxury that we think this is great and this is what I needed. I've always wanted my life to be this easy, but God didn't call you to live an easy life. God called you to live a committed life. Satan wants to make it hard to live the Christian life and he wants to get you to believe false doctrine. The Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The devil wants to hinder your Christian service, and what greater way to hinder your Christian service than to destroy God's church? He wants to destroy the church, and how does he do that? By creating division. Somebody told me this past week, God's in the business of adding and multiplying. The devil is in the business of subtracting and dividing. And that's what he does in his church. So Satan's got an agenda. You got that figured out yet? Satan's got an agenda, and he wants to captivate us with that agenda. He wants to ensnare us with that agenda. And the ultimate goal is this. He wants the believer, he wants the Christian, that's you, that's me, he wants the church member to become worldly, fleshly, and disobedient. That's the goal. I'd say the devil is doing pretty good. He's making headway. But you know, it doesn't really matter from what angle the devil comes, as long as you're ready when he gets there. And that's what this passage of Scripture prepares us to do. This passage of Scripture, it tells you all of the many different things that we are to put on, that we are to take up, that we are to embrace, that we are to look at and examine from the Word of God and then indoctrinate our lives with that truth and with what God has taught us. And as we do that, we see that God does these things, gives us these things for one reason, and that is that we can stand. Three different times we were told to stand. The first time was in verse number 11. He said, I want you to put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against something, the wiles of the devil. He said, I want you to put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand in the evil day. There's a lot of discussion about what that passage and that little phrase means. What is the evil day? One theologian, as I read through commentaries and looking at what we're getting ready for in this text, he said, what is the evil day? Well, it's any day. It's every day. The evil day is all the time. The devil is focused on getting you off track any way he can. It doesn't matter what the tool is. It doesn't matter what the method is. He's trying to take today and use it to defeat you. But some people believe this, that the evil day is a time in the life of the believer where the devil attacks us, much like he attacked Job, where he increases his attack. Perhaps there's been a time you've been addicted, you've been in sin, and God's given you victory over that. Let me say this tonight. If you're facing some kind of secret sin or addiction or problem tonight, did you know God can give you deliverance from that? If he can't, then we have a problem. If he can't, then we have a big problem. I've heard people say, well, once you have a problem with that, you'll always have a problem with that. But that's not speaking biblically, because the Bible says that we can have victory in Christ. And while I understand what they mean when they say that, we got to understand something else, is that in Jesus, we can have victory. But I find that people who have faced addiction in their life or they've had struggles in a certain area, sometimes they'll get victory from that and they'll be away from it for some time, and all of a sudden, it could be years down the road, the devil comes back with a vengeance and a fury. And there's a story in the Scripture of how Jesus said there's a house and the demon was cast out of the house, and they cleaned the house and they straightened the house up, and the demon came back and brought several of his friends with him. You say, well, what does that possibly mean? What should have happened is the house should have been destroyed. Because when we allow space for the devil, we've already talked about this, we cannot give him ground in our lives. So he calls us to stand against the wiles of the devil. He calls us to withstand in the evil day. And then the Bible says this, having done all, stand. So I've done everything I can. I've done everything I know to do. I've read every book on it. I've read every passage of Scripture on it. I've done everything that I've tried every path. And it just seems like I can't do it anymore. God says, when you've done it all, you still need to stand. And you cannot stand without the armor. Look at verse 14. Here's the first piece of the armor tonight. Three things about this. The Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I want us to see these three things. First of all, the word of truth. The word of truth, number one. You say, what is truth all about? Well, when we think of truth, I think immediately of one thing, and I'm holding it in my hand this evening. It's called the word of God. I believe this book is true. I believe it is infallible, inerrant. I believe God has given us a perfect book. I believe he's given us the ability to look into the perfect law of liberty, and we're able to see what God wants us to see and learn what God wants us to learn. And our spiritual problems are not a problem with this book. It's a problem with us, and it's a problem with our relationship with this book. The word of truth, God has given it to us so that we can know what is true, which is a good thing, because it seems like the truth that is out there is so subjective. We got to watch out for using these terminologies that are found in the world today. And you say, well, that's my truth. Hold on, time out. You don't have a truth. God has truth. And in this passage of Scripture, truth is compared to a girdle or to a belt, to something that in those days would be used in such a way as to provide stability, as to provide protection, and as to provide freedom to be able to walk into a battle and to experience victory. In those days, they would wear a tunic, is what they would call it. And really what it is a square piece of cloth with a head and arm holes cut out of it. And they put it over their head and their arms through there. And it's just kind of a square piece sewn together just like that. Not very fashionable, but it was exactly what the common man wore in those days. And it was very loose and flowing because in the climate there, the temperature was very hot and very dry, and so they wanted their bodies to be able to breathe and to be covered from the hot sun, but still to be able to breathe and be comfortable. And it was worn very loosely. It was just draped over the battle. But here was the problem. As soon as you ran into the battle, all of that loose fabric and all of that was flowing around you that just a moment ago was comfortable, now it's a problem because now you have something that is holding you back. And the Bible says that we need something to help bind everything together, and it's just referred to in this passage as truth. I think this can be very easily applied to the Scripture. That's why there was this girdle, this belt. If you had a belt, it meant you were ready. If you had a girdle, if you had that sash that you could tie everything up with and you could secure all of that long and flowing material with, if you had that, the enemy knew, this person, this man, this individual is walking down the road today. He may not look like he's ready for a fight, but as soon as one breaks out, he's ready to go and everything is on. The Word of God, the Bible tells us, is preparing us for the day of battle. You say, well, how do I fight? How did Jesus fight? Turn to Psalm chapter 19, if you would. Psalm chapter 19. And I want you to know God's word is telling us that in order to battle the lies of the devil, you're going to have to be prepared with the truth of the word of God. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 19 tells us about the word of God in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is, say the next word with me, perfect. Find your place there. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is? What does it do? Converting the soul. The Bible goes on, says, the testimony of the Lord is? Sure. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are? Right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure. Enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is? Clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And notice what it says in verse 10. It says, more to be desired are they than gold. Can I tell you something? What you have in this Bible, you can go down to the bookstore and you can buy a Bible just about as cheap as you can imagine. You don't even have to go to the bookstore. You can go to Amazon. You can order it online. You can do whatever you need to do. You can look it up on your phone right now. And what you see in Scripture is more valuable to you than a wedding ring, than a gold necklace, than any jewelry, than anything in the whole wide world. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Look at verse 11. Notice this. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Hey, two things here. I said this morning that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I think I used the word rebuke this morning, and that's not the word that's in the text, so forgive me for getting the word wrong. But it is the same idea. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, moreover, by them thy servant is warned. Hey, if you read the Word of God and then you apply it to your life, you're going to go throughout life and you're going to say, I don't know if I ought to go to that place because the Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't know if I should associate with this type of person. I know they need Jesus. I'm going to witness to them. We're going to love them. That's fine. But frankly, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men is wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I don't want to be destroyed. Hey, listen, the Word of God, when applied to your life, moreover, by them thy servant is warned. And the Bible says, in the keeping of them, the statutes, the principles, the commandments, the law of God, in the keeping of the Word of God, the truth that girds us up, that binds everything together, that gives us what we need to know about life, in the keeping of them there is great reward. So I'm looking for a successful life. I'm looking for a happy life. How do I become successful? How do I become happy? How do I experience what God has for me in my life? Can I tell you something right now? It's not so much about prosperity. It's not so much about happiness as it is about obedience to the Word of God. That's what God wants us to do. In the keeping of them, there is great reward. What a great statement. The Word of God is our truth. The Word of God is the greatest defense against the wiles of the devil. Jesus, when he was tempted, said, as it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Without a working knowledge of the truths of Scripture, the child of God is easy prey for the enemy. And the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's amazing how people cannot get settled on doctrine when the Bible is very clear on it. I talk to people regularly. I talk to people in public. I talk to people in the community. I talk to people in the church. And they're saying, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And listen, I'm all for searching and studying. But what's going on a lot of times is not searching and studying. It's being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Here at Faithway Baptist Church, we have our doctrine established in the Word of God. The Bible says we shouldn't be carried about by every sleight of men, by every cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's why the Lord gave us his word. That's why he gave us preachers to explain it to us. That's why he gave us teachers to teach it to us. He wants us to know his truth. He wants us to stand in the evil day. Number two, I want you to see the next application of this in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's not only the word of truth, there's also a willingness to live a truthful life. And it's important for us to understand this. The belt of truth this evening is dealing less with the content of the Word of God, though it does deal with it, and more with the attitude of truth in our life. If you could think with me that long flowing garment, and I thought about, boy, if we could just find some armor and have somebody come up and be a visual aid, that kind of thing, I thought that would be great, but you're going to have to use your imagination instead, okay? If you could imagine that long flowing garment going into battle and even apply it to maybe some of what we see in modern day, when a person goes out to a wrestling match, they don't have anything that can be grabbed on, because that's the first thing that's going to happen is the devil, the opponent, is going to grab onto your garment. And there's nothing there to trip them up. It's all there. It's all there very, very secure. And the belt is what does that for us. Truth is what does that for us. And it deals with our lives on a very personal sense. You see, the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. We're going to get more into the Word of God later. But the belt had a strap on it. And if you understand how they used to war in those days after they girded up for the battle, the sword went where? In the belt. So the sword of the Spirit and the belt of truth are tied together. They're very connected. God wants us to live a life of truthfulness, and he wants us to walk in his word. So what does this mean? It means to have yourself girded with truth is to be prepared for the battle. Are you ready for when the devil brings the big guns? Are you ready for when the big war breaks out? Because no one in this room is exempt from the attacks of the devil. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm thankful that in my life I was what you might call today a sheltered child. And I understand that there's a little bit of a negativity to that term. But my parents didn't shelter us from life. I grew up, I had a job, I mowed lawns, I was able to drive my bike up the street and go mow the lawn and do those kind of things. I was taught hard work. I was not isolated, I was insulated. One of the things that I had to learn is this. is that spiritual battles comes to people of all ages, of all backgrounds. The Bible says that to have that belt of truth on every day is to be prepared should the devil come your way. How do we do that? We live a life of truthfulness. It's an interesting verse in Romans. Chapter 12, verse 17, it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. I believe if we're going to live a life of truthfulness, we have to live a life devoid of hypocrisy. Does that make sense to you tonight? When we come to church, if we're not careful, and I'm thankful we have a traditional church. I'm okay with that. I don't plan to change that. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Other people do other things. I'm not against them. And I wear a suit and a tie to church. I don't think that I'm saved because I wear a suit and a tie to church. Matter of fact, I think I know why these ties were invented. Okay? And it was not for comfort. I think it was invented by an angry wife, is what I think, quite frankly. It's punishment. Now I can't remember where I was going with that illustration. I'm a little fearful. But we provide things honest in the sight of all men. What we do is we make sure that we're squared away. Paul the apostle, here it is tonight. Paul said to Timothy, he said, thou hast fully known my doctrine, what I believe, and my manner of life. I believe, yes, there should be an element of privacy. I believe that there should be an element of appropriateness in our life that is both Christian and valid and right. But I will tell you today that we have got to be willing to be honest before God and before one another. And that's why the Bible says things like this. Not only should we be kind one to another, we should confess our faults one to another in the fear of God. Why is that? Because it's good to be open. It's good to be transparent. It's good to be right with one another. It's good because the family of God is supposed to be there to help us, not to hurt us. We can't allow in our lives the loose folds of our double standards to hold us back, because the devil will grab onto anything in order to hinder our walk. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And to walk around without the belt of truthfulness, without the belt of transparency and honesty, and without a truthful, willing spirit and willing life, it is to hide one's secret life inside and to say, I can be this way over here, but this way at church. And that's where that illustration was going, is sometimes if we're not careful in a church like ours, we'll show up with a suit and tie and think, boy, I'm looking good today. Nobody's ever going to know what I'm dealing with. And we use sometimes the outward appearance to hide that which we need to be manifest or revealed. Whatever we have in our lives, it's not squared away. Whatever we have in our lives, it's not rolled up, tucked in, secured, can be a hindrance to us, which is why the author of Hebrews said we put aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. To be girded with truth means that we walk in discipline and commitment. To be girded with truth means that we are always prepared. And I'll tell you this tonight, that one who will live a life of honesty and transparency first before God, and one that will not live a double life or be double-minded, is also the same person who, in the life of that person, if you could imagine who that person, that hypothetical person could be, I never find that person doubting their salvation. Because they're tied to this book, and they're tied to a life of honesty and truthfulness. It's amazing, when we hide sin in our lives, we doubt that which God has given us, the greatest gift of all, which is salvation. You never find someone who has the belt of truth on falling into gross and great sin. We are all sinners. Nobody's perfect. But you find that daily truth is monitoring them and helping them. You find someone who's girded with truth as being prepared when the attacks of the devil come. The last thing about this truth is that a belt not only holds everything together, it also stabilizes the core. The strength of your body is in your core strength. If you want to be strong, a lot of guys have gone out, built big arms and big bodies, but have weak core. All the athletes who play any physical sport, they all focus on one thing, that is core strength. When we tie up and when we bind ourselves with truth, not only does it help us to live in the Word, not only does it help us to live truthfully, but it also helps stabilize. And that's the person who, when they go through the storm, are the big life-shattering events, seem to come out on the other side, still serving the Lord, still walking with Jesus, battered and scarred, no doubt, but still proceeding down a path of service for their King. Why? Because the very first thing they put on every morning is they tie off that girdle, that belt of truth. Now, tonight, if we're going to stand, we have to be able to withstand. You have to be able to withstand attack. That's a defensive posture. Isn't it interesting? That the devil is going to throw all of his fiery darts. He's going to use all of his strategy. He's going to do everything that he possibly can in your life to seek you, to devour you, to destroy you, to steal your effectiveness for Christ, to kill your effectiveness for Christ, to take away your joy. And the real test is going to be, do you have the belt of truth on? Because those who have that belt of truth can walk into the battle to withstand. Those who do not will be a hard target for the enemy, will be an easy target for the enemy. Three things I thought, just very quickly in closing, that in order to put this on, you have to desire it. Nobody ever woke up with the belt on. It has to be put on purpose. I don't know if you've ever noticed a competitor who was very talented, very gifted, but it didn't seem like they had that desire to win. The ones we know the best, the great basketball players or football players or baseball players, and I'm conveniently eliminating soccer from the conversation, and all of those things tonight, I got your attention again. But all of those athletes, and yes, soccer included, the ones who are standing out the most are the ones who want to win. Do you really want to have victory in your life? Because if you do, you can. There's a second thing. You got to have discipline. Discipline is every day. Discipline is all the time. Discipline is my life is different now because I have a focus that we're going to go toward that which God has. We're going to have to prepare for a victorious walk. But then you've also got to have devotion. You see, discipline says, I have to. Devotion says, I get to. Devotion says, not only do I need to pick up the belt in order to be successful and strong and in order to have a strong stand. Not only do I need to pick up the belt in order for me to experience victory, but I want to. I get to. It's an exciting thing to be able to take the Word of God, to open it up and to know that, hey, it's perfect. It's an exciting thing to know that you're living with a conscience void of offense. It's a wonderful thing. It's a devotion. Someone added to that and said, yeah, but delight is, discipline is I have to, devotion is I get to, delight is I want to. I want to. We think of the battle, and I thought about this week, that a lot of times we become desperate in the battle because we need help right now, right away. I've got to have relief. I've got to have what I need, and I just don't know where to look first. Can I encourage you to look first to the truth of the Word of God? To open it up and to calm yourself and to read what God says and let His Spirit teach you, because the Bible says the Spirit will teach us all things. He'll never teach you anything contrary to this book. He'll teach you everything that is contained in this book according to His will. Start with truth tonight, because truth is where it all begins. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you please help us tonight. Help us to desire to win. Help us to have discipline to prepare for the battle.